everyone, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy you are with us, and if you are with us, we want you to be part of this conversation. Our guest tonight is Heather Walton from A Plus Education Solutions. Well, welcome, Heather. We're so happy to have you back. You're a return guest, which is
awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I just remember the last time then when we talked, I took so many short clips of what you had to say. You have so much good things to talk about. Heather's just a wealth of information. So I'm really excited to be talking to her again about a completely different subject. We're going to talk about outsourcing some of your homeschooling. How do you even do that for a diverse learner? So if you have a student who doesn't fit that typical thing, you know, kind of box, and what, you know, a lot of those curriculums that are out there that parents look at first for outsourcing tend to not work. And so Heather's going to open our minds a little bit tonight. So thank you, Heather, for being willing to do that and joining us. And we're just so glad you're here. So our topic
honored to be here.
Yeah, our topic this month is all about resources, and mostly online resources, which we had no idea even the coronavirus was going to be happening when we were planning this, but God knew, and knew that you might need these resources, especially now through the summer, because some people are going to consider homeschooling through the summer and then into the fall as well. So when we're just getting started, can you tell us a little bit about your background and your family and kind of what you do in the homeschooling realm and what A-Plus Education Solutions is all about? That'd be great.
Sure, yes. So I started homeschooling a way long time ago. My older girls were young, and they were, probably back in the, I guess it was about 15 or so years ago, homeschooled for 6 years, and then kind of gave up because I had a special needs learner, and I did a lot of research and tried a lot of things, but I didn't really feel like I had support, and so I kind of gave up. And so then I went back and got my teaching certification in elementary and special education, and later started my own school. And then because of some health problems, I needed to quit that, and ended up bringing my second crew, as I call them, home for my homeschool 2.0 journey. And so I've got two boys, and then I have a three-year-old. So,
awesome.
And I do have, they both have some special learning needs, but one of them has a pretty serious ADHD, so we navigate that. So A Plus Education Solutions is a business of mine and a website, and I help with things like tutoring and educational consulting. I have articles and that sort of thing online as well, and even do a cottage school. So with both in-person and online options, and I do speaking engagements and assessments. So lots of things there.
Yeah, you've got a lot of spokes in that wheel moving. Definitely. And, you know, those are all resources that parents, you know, maybe sometimes a parent is looking like for testing or these other things, and once they look at a site kind of like yours, they're like, oh, these are other things that I probably should be looking into as well. And we don't often talk about building our team as a homeschooler, but when we have a child that struggles, that is a priority, is to have those people on your side that can give you some feedback about what you're doing, where your child is struggling. And so so Heather is one of those people that you definitely want to connect with if you're looking at who do I build my team with, definitely to give you some insight. So
yes, and I don't mind working with people online and across the country, and of course right now, even if I'm working with somebody in town, I'm working with them online. So
exactly,
I've gotten a lot better at it over the past month or a couple months. So yeah.
Awesome. So as we're getting started, I just want you to know, if you're watching and you have questions for Heather or something that we're talking about brings up, you know, a thought or a question, definitely put those in the feed. We want you to be part of this conversation and add to it, because we're just going to follow an outline, but that outline can be interrupted. So that would be great. But as we get started, what, you know, oftentimes we as parents will, our decisions about homeschooling are led by fear, are led by pre-assumptions, are led by all these things. What advice do you have to say to parents who often feel like they are boxed in by all this information that's coming at them about what they should be doing?
Right. Well, that word "should" a lot of times is a word that traps us, isn't it?
Yes. Well,
you know, a lot of times the reason we homeschool is because we've been in a situation where we're concerned about a situation for a child that puts them in a box, right? Mm-hmm. We hear about, you know, cookie cutter education, or, you know, my kid didn't fit in the box or whatever. And so a lot of people, especially with special needs children, do end up leaving a school situation because of that. And even now in some states, I don't know, it's everywhere, but I know in our state, you know, we may not even be going back to school in the fall. And so
right.
Kids who have special needs that we're getting accommodations, that kind of thing, are not getting them the way that they should be, because mm-hmm. how do you do that online? And so some people are thinking about, you know, maybe I'm going to homeschool because mm-hmm. my kid doesn't fit in that online public school box right now.
Right.
So we think about that. We think about our kid doesn't fit in a box because God makes us all individuals anyway. Really, none of us fit in a box.
Exactly.
Or maybe we don't fit in the box. Like, we think, oh, a homeschool mom looks like this and this and this, mm-hmm. and this is what I think of that looking like, and I don't fit in that box.
Right.
But you know what? God doesn't fit in a box. There's not a big enough box in the entire universe to put God in. And so mm-hmm. if we have come to know the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Therefore, we can't fit in a box either, because we have God in us. And so, you know, God has an individualized learning plan for us and for our children. And so mm-hmm. he's got something that will work for us, but it's not going to fit in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not going to come in one set curriculum package that you follow step by step through for the day. It's much more creative.
Exactly.
Than that. No. So
right,
I was thinking
right.
as you're talking about this, what is different about the 1.0 Heather Walton homeschool mom versus the 2.0 that you talked about? What changed in between those that maybe got you more out of your box?
Well, I mean, I guess I felt like I had more tools, which gave me more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one thing.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is that I really became convicted that my children needed a biblical worldview, and that they weren't going to get that public school. And honestly, they weren't necessarily going to get that in private school and in Christian school either, not the way that I wanted them to. And so, and because a biblical worldview is kind of an all-encompassing thing. In fact, if you look at the Webster's Dictionary definition of education, it says the bringing up as of a child, instruction, formation of manners. Education comprehends all that series of instruction and discipline which is intended to enlighten the understanding, correct the temper, and form the manners and habits of youth, and fit them for usefulness in their future stations. To give children a good education in manners, arts, and sciences, it's important. To give them a religious education is indispensable, and an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect that. And so, you know, and when you look at Deuteronomy,
mm-hmm.
you know, 6:4 6, 4 through 7, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might. And these words that I command to you should be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." And so education is so much more than academics.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that was something that I got very convicted of, and that I would like to emphasize to anybody that we can really beat ourselves up thinking that we have to give them this stellar academic education, but maybe neglect those other things.
Right.
That can really only be taught through discipleship.
Right. Yes, that's so true. And you have such little time when your kids are gone away at school versus when you're home. And I think parents are starting to realize that, you know, as their kids are home with them, is they have so much time and so much influence. And a lot of parents have come back and said, you know, we really like being together now. So.
Right. Well, and if you've got a child with special needs who struggles, then you're sitting there doing, typically, they're in school all day, which is taxing to them. And then they get home, and you've probably got to spend a lot more time in homework with them than an average, you know, parent and child might have to if they have a typical child. And so, you know, then you're spending so much time on that stuff that the school prescribed. And it can be frustrating and a strain on your relationship.
Yeah, it definitely can, and it takes all the time that you would have had to work on those things that really matter most out of the equation. You just don't have time. And
right.
It's more of a battle just to get done what's not important. So,
yeah.
So true. So as we're kind of looking ahead, what kind of options do parents have? I mean, sometimes we think, oh, well, we have an online option and we have a book option. But I know there's a whole lot of other options, and some of these have just cropped up, you know, in the last couple of years, or at least their names may not be familiar to us. So so we can kind of go through each of those and explore how those are helpful, and especially for diverse learners.
Yes, yes. So you mean things like cottage schools and co-ops and those kinds of things?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know in different states they call it different things. Some places might call it a cottage school or an umbrella school or I don't know, a tutorial. Or I've heard all these different things. But basically, cottage schools and co-ops are basically where you can take your kids to get classes from different instructors. And, you know, my experience here in Kentucky where I live is we typically call them cottage schools and co-ops. So co-ops being something where parents come together and all contribute. And then, you know, so you may teach a class and you may assist in another class, or you may be a hall monitor or whatever. And then your child can pick certain classes, or maybe there's a whole set curriculum that they go through in a day. And typically that doesn't cost a ton of money because all the parents are working together to make it happen, but you've got to stay on campus. Whereas a cottage school or whatever you might call it in your area is more of a drop-off program where you may pay a little more and then your child gets to take either a whole curriculum or just certain classes. And now, you know, some of these things are available as well online. I know in our local support group, we had to finish out our co-ops online this year. And so I think that's going to be
a lot of people that have been doing that.
So I think that's going to be an option that more people will have in the future because now they know how to do it and they realize it's doable, which may give you a lot more options because you're not just committed to just your area.
That is very true. You have a much more diverse choice option.
Right. And then there are places like HSLDA or, you know, a lot of the colleges and things, or Rebecca and Bob Jones University and different things like that, where they have programs that you can take one class at a time online or a whole accredited program. There are also in a lot of communities extensions of the Christian schools. So maybe they will allow your student to come in for one class a day or a day a week or something like that. And the nice thing about that is a lot of times then you can also take part in some of the extracurriculars that they have. There are online programs that are accredited. There are programs that are non-accredited. Depending on your state, that might be important. Where I live, it doesn't have to be, and most colleges don't really care about accreditation. I know that's a big question that a lot of people ask, but most of the time they don't care as long as you, your student can show that they actually have, you know, done a good job with their studies and taking the tests like that.
Here in Texas, it's really funny because the colleges don't care about the accreditation, but if you wanted to count towards a high school credit at a local public high school, you have to have an accredited class.
Okay.
From like the K-12 program. It can't be anything outside of what they don't say is accredited, and it has to be accredited by the TEA. So every state has its own little quirky rules. So
yeah. Yeah, and if you have questions about that, HSLDA is a great resource for that. They've got, and then your state organizations that are subsidiaries of that, because you know the rules are very diverse across the country.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's funny. I always see people posting questions about, well, how do I get started homeschooling? And they're asking on the internet. And it's like, first of all, what state are you in? That's always the question that you should always start that with, because people will give you advice that does not even apply to you.
Right. Exactly. So, and then you may not, your child may not need to take a whole class or a whole series of classes or whatever from someone else, but they may need a little help here and there, like tutoring, for example. I tutor kids online just for a subject, and you may need to make access of a tutor, you know, who could help with. I know math is a biggie, like people can really have a hard time with math, and believe it or not, you can teach math online, or take, you know, tutoring online with math, or reading, you know, that's another one that I see as a biggie. So tutoring may be something that you can access online or in person whenever that's allowed in your area. And that can be very helpful. That can really help you to keep your sanity when you have a child that you're really struggling to teach to read or to do math or whatever, you know, or I mean, during this thing, I'm actually learning the piano and I did a little bit of learning that online, believe it or not.
So, I mean,
there are things like that. You can do lessons online, but for tutoring, that's a good one. Therapies can be very helpful for your child. Like it may just be that you need somebody to come and help do some kinds of occupational therapy or speech therapy or even psychotherapy. You know, those are things that can help you and help your student, because if they've got something that's just blocking their learning, I've often told parents that if their child is really dealing with some emotional things, they're probably not going to do the academics well. So invest in that first.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, because otherwise you're talking to a brick wall. It doesn't sink in. And I realized that after I taught my one son while he was depressed for a year, he didn't learn a thing. We had to repeat the entire year. And so, yeah, deal with those underlying things first. That is such good advice.
Yeah. So public schools can offer some things too, but I don't highly recommend those things simply because they don't typically come with a biblical worldview. And to me, biblical worldview is extremely important. That's the reason, the number one reason I am home educating, and I bet that a lot of you are as well. And so when you look at the curriculum, it's not necessarily going to be in line. Plus, you know, HSLDA would discourage that just because then you're accountable to the state when you're dealing with a public e-school.
Used it for like welding. That was something I couldn't teach. My son wanted to go into welding, and I was like, well, you know, we lived in Minnesota and we had a really small town, and like, will you teach them shop classes? And they're like, oh yeah. And they played in the band too. You know, those were a couple things that we took advantage of just because they weren't things that we could teach at home.
Yeah, and that's great that you had that option. A lot of people, like here, we can't do that at all. So a lot of times you use all or nothing. And so, you know, but I can see it being helpful for some things potentially. If you have
and
options like that.
It's a different mindset. I mean, parents that choose to do the therapy through their public schools too, they just have to realize that the therapy stops when the student becomes functional in the classroom.
Right.
And that may not be anywhere near where you want their goals to be, but that's what the school considers acceptable. So,
absolutely. Yes.
Definitely. So yeah. So what about parents who are struggling with the whole fear over what if this doesn't work? What if, you know, how do I even choose which is the right option? You know, this it can be really confusing to have so many options. I mean, even just the homeschool curriculum options now can overwhelm you. I know we had a consult come in just today, and the lady's like, okay, I see your website and I don't even know where to get started. And so, you know, I gave her a couple places to look, and I said, okay, then start with these videos. And then if you have more questions, come back. But just get started here.
Right.
And so kind of what is that, when we're looking at outsourcing, where does a parent even start with, you know, how do I figure out what's going to work best for us?
Well, I probably wouldn't start with an entire online accredited program.
I think you might starting spend a lot of money ahead of time and then say, oh, we're done.
Yes. I mean, I think what you got to understand is that when you are dealing with homeschooling, and especially homeschooling a child with any kind of special learning needs, you are going to somewhat be trial and error, and you've got to be both flexible and gracious with yourself and with your child. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wouldn't do something that is going to be a huge financial investment that you're going to feel like I have to be, you know, we have to do this or die, you know, like we've got to finish this up.
Yeah.
And this is the hill I'm going to die on, because chances are you have a lot of things that you're dealing with that are struggles with your kid. And so, you know, do something that you feel like you can live with, and that you feel like if it doesn't work, you'll be okay to let go of, because you really got to be flexible. You want to preserve the relationship with your child, and that's the reason you're outsourcing, most likely.
Exactly. Yep.
To do something that is either beyond your ability or beyond your ability to interact well with your child. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you can do something where you can try it and not have to be committed, then great.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, like with tutoring, you know, you could say, hey, I'd like to try a session with you. Can I get it? You know, ask. I mean, there's no knowing unless you ask. Can we try this out for a few weeks? Do we have to commit for any length of time, or what those kind of things are? But I would definitely start small and realizing that you're going to build on what you start with.
Because you can create a massive schedule without even, you know, really thinking about it when you start adding all these options in, because there's so many good options.
Yes.
But you only want the ones that are the best for your child, not everything.
Right. Well, and I think that when you look at a co-op or a cottage school or something where you're going to be committing a decent amount of time, and kind of once you start, you're going to be committed to it. I mean, talk to the leaders of that first and say, you know, what do you do for, you know, my child has this, whatever, you know, and how do you handle that? And are you well equipped? Because unfortunately, there's a lot of, whether it's schools or co-ops or whatever, that really want to be compassionate and they want to admit your child. But if they can't serve your child, that's not fair to you, to them, or to your child especially. And so sitting down and ironing out those expectations with them and having that communication with them on the front end is very wise. Because otherwise you're just setting yourself and everybody up for disappointment and maybe for hard feelings.
Yeah, we've seen that happen over and over again with co-ops. You know, they want to help these students, but then they get into the mix and they then perceive your student as, well, they're just misbehaving, and they don't get to the under part of why this behavior is happening and everything else. And so, it's the same thing online too. When you have like a small classroom where you're interacting one-on-one, I know the young man that I tutor, his mom was listening to our conversation, because he used to come to my house because he only lived down the street, and then we started doing it on video. She goes, "I apologize. He's not talking very nice to you." I said, "We're joking, you know." And so, but yeah, we had to have that kind of conversation that, oh, this is okay. I'm okay with this as his teacher to joke around, because that motivates him. But how is this teacher going to interact with your student? I love that, you know, saying, can we try it out and see how it works? And you know, a good resource will, they'll know, yes, it's, if I'm confident in my teaching that I can teach a struggling learner, then why not? Why don't I gain the confidence of this family? So,
Yes, but a lot of times people want to start a co-op or something because they want to offer a nice program, but maybe they haven't really got, or their teachers don't have a lot of teaching experience outside their home. And so then it can be really hard to deal with a student who has behavioral needs or even just learning challenges that cause behavior, or they just may not understand. They may be requiring everybody in the class to go around in a circle and read. Mm-hmm. Well, if you haven't told them up front that my child is dyslexic and that would terrify them,
right.
they don't know that. And then they think that your child is being defiant or something like that.
Right, exactly. And yeah, that communication that you were talking about earlier, that is so important. So as a parent is looking at these and interacting with, you know, the developers for maybe an online program or teachers, what are some good questions for them to ask or even to consider in their own head about what do I need to look for and what do I need to ask?
Yeah, I would ask, well, first of all, I would find out, if you have the opportunity the semester before to do a shadow day, I would do that.
That's a good
idea. Ask them if you can, your child can come in shadow, or you can come in shadow and kind of see how things are handled.
Right.
But then I would also ask, you know, do you have students with special needs, special learning challenges? Do you have, you know, how do you handle that? How have you handled that in the past? If you have specific accommodations that your child needs, then I would ask. I would say, this is what my child needs. Are you all open to that? And I would be very open to them not being open to that. Like I would say to them, you know, I understand if you're not equipped and we want to make sure that we're setting my child up for success and that my child's not making it difficult on you in your program. So I think if they hear that, then they're going to be open to realizing that you're not just going to be demanding. Because I think some parents, you know, are very, and I, you know, as a person who leads an organization that has co-ops underneath, I have seen parents who are very, and also as a teacher just in the past, I've seen parents who are very, you know, they're just very soft-hearted about their kids and they are defensive, you know, and they take their kids' issues personally, and we can do that, you know, we do,
so
and so we need to be willing to say, you know, I know my child has this problem with learning, but I realize that that doesn't make them any less of a great person. This is just a struggle that they have, but I need to be realistic about this program and whether or not it's going to fit my child's needs, and so telling them that, just being upfront, like, this is what I'm looking for, this is what my child needs, and if this isn't the program for that, I really need to know upfront because I want to set my child up for success, but I also want you all to be happy with my child, and so let's make sure that, because if they're not, your child's going to know it, more than likely. And so, you know, and you might say, you know, sometimes it's good for a parent to be able to stay with the child and be in the classroom, and sometimes it's not. So, you know, and you may know that as a parent, but just say, you know, is that something that's an option? Or, and then, you know, with individual teachers of the classes that you want, I would ask to talk to them as well and say, you know, what's your experience? How would you deal with this? Because they may never have thought about it before, or they may have tons of experience. They might have a child so similar to yours that they're like, oh yeah, this will be fine, no problem whatsoever. But you don't know unless you ask.
And we can make assumptions on either side. We can make assumptions that they're not going to understand, and or maybe there's so many parents that just don't want to say anything and just drop their child off because they're so frustrated, and that does not end well. Start with that. But then there's others that, you know, they'll would just go in with all the ideas that nobody's going to understand.
And feel free to make a communication program with them. Like, say, I'm going to, you know, let's either, maybe you have a notebook that you fill out both ways, you know, and they give you notes, or maybe you have an email, you know, afterwards, or you even come in and pick them up and you talk about it and they, but, you know, encourage them to give you positive and negative feedback about your child. And encourage, you know, you may even want to, you know, you may have some kind of a behavior plan that you want your child to check off and them to check off. You may not, but it's good to have that door of communication open. That way, you know, that they're not going to wait until 6 weeks down the road and then say, oh, you know, your kids bit somebody every week or something like that. That would be bad.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah. You want to know those things and you want to be able to work with the teacher to not, to say, I'm just dumping my child off because, I'm.
Right.
But, yeah. So, Amy, I made a comment. She just said, I just jumped on. Thanks for hosting this. You are welcome. Thanks for joining us. So, and I see we have a lot of viewers. So if you have any questions for Heather, we are talking about outsourcing some of your homeschooling for diverse learners and just what options you have for that. And then, like we were just talking about too, how do you make those things work? Because sometimes we say, oh, well, that just won't work for my child. But we set it, you know, we can set those boundaries maybe too tightly when there are a lot of options out there. And I know there's some online classes that are specifically for struggling learners, and they're self-paced and small groups or one-on-one. And so there's lots of options out there we're talking about. So that's great. So in your personal life, what kind of options do you use with your students for?
Well, I have my sons go to a cottage school once a week, or at least they did.
Yeah.
And so I have one who is very much into the theater arts, and so he goes to a program for where he does acting and dance and singing and and filmmaking, and that's been wonderful for him because I feel like that is something that God is going to use in his life in some way, whether he's going to be in Hollywood or on the stage, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, when we look at our kids, especially our kids who have any kind of learning challenges or emotional challenges or whatever, we need to look and see what are they really good at, you know, and put some of that in their life. Don't just outsource for the difficult stuff, you know, or don't just teach them difficult stuff, but find what they're good at and find ways for them to do that. So, you know, that's been such a blessing for him. And then my other son is, he's artistic, so he also goes and he takes art classes. So we do that. And then we also have somebody come to our house once a week and do some therapy, some kind of like occupational therapy, but it's movement-based therapy. And so that's another thing that we do. We have had times when we've done regular therapy as well. And, you know, so those things have all been things that have been really, really helpful for us. And we have used co-ops in the past. And, you know, we may at times use those in the future. But for me, the things that I've outsourced are the things that I'm no good at and that they need a group for, you know?
Well, that's a good point that you make, is that this isn't like I'm committing to this type of teaching for the rest of my students' career.
Right.
This is what we choose this year, and it's what's going to work this year. And maybe we can reevaluate, or halfway through, some of these classes are half year. Semester long, and so you can change. It isn't like you're stuck.
Right.
And this is the end. This is how I'm going to homeschool the rest of my career and my child. So,
And my older son is in high school, and he would like to do some dual credit as well. So that's another outsourcing option.
Yes.
And so we're looking at that. But I have told him that he needs to show me a really good, solid academic resolve, and then I will be happy for us to try that. And another thing that I outsource, that I think is hugely beneficial, is vocational training.
Oh, yes.
So my older son, we have a guy at our church that does tree trimming. And so he's been able to go and help him with that. And so I think that is hugely valuable, because a lot of times these things are things that we never would think of because they're not academic, but they're very valid professions, and getting that exposure and just that work ethic is really really helpful.
Those apprenticeships are important, because it isn't just the tree trimming. They're learning how to run a business by watching this person, and how they deal with people, the people skills. There's so much more involved than just the trade. And those are valuable skills in any work environment your child is going to be in the future.
So, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Amy says it's really a gift to hear other moms outsourcing SPED too. It mm-hmm. seems like we're such a tiny population, laughing with Peggy about it taking a year at a time. Yeah, and it's so true. I mean, because I remember just with my kids, it's like I'm praying, going, okay, God, how do we handle this now? Because my especially in high school, you know, I think my son changed every year what he wanted to do. And so we're like, redirect, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like insanely crazy. Eventually we ended up, you know, graduating him, and he's what he decided that he wanted to do his first year out of high school, he didn't end up doing. He went to school to be an engineer instead of a welder.
But it's so great for them to have that experience and learn what they don't want to do too.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
so true. And so you just kind of go with what you have and the options that are given to you, and you know, just it'll all work out. And but yeah, taking it one year at a time. We like outsourcing language. I am not good at foreign languages, mm-hmm. But having somebody that's fluent in writing and reading the language, it's just invaluable as far as I'm concerned, because I don't have the time to study that. And I think a lot of online programs, you know, especially language is a conversation, and mm-hmm. you can't really teach it that well with just the non-interactive parts.
Right.
So that's been something that we definitely have done. And I know also sports. Parents don't often think of this, you know, like martial arts and all those other things. That can be considered credits and part of school. And we often think of those as, well, that's just what happens after school. But
yeah,
as a
absolutely.
That's another outsource.
Yes, and like my son's on the worship team with me. That's part of, you know, service opportunities as well can be considered.
Yes.
You can use those towards credit and all of that as well, so.
Right. Yeah. So, I know when we were first getting started, you said that you had some scripture verses to encourage parents. Was there any other ones that you wanted to add in?
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, and I had some, I have some questions too, I think, that can be helpful. But, you know, I think that one of the scriptures that really encourages me is Philippians 4:19. Mm-hmm. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And the thing is, he's going to supply our needs. We got to ask, and we got to ask for that wisdom from him. And, but you know, it's amazing how he can supply exactly who we need, and exactly what we need. And don't be afraid to look at the resources that you have. It's not always going to be, you don't always have to pay. Like I talked about the guy from church, you know, you know, I don't have to pay him to go, you know, do that. But it's been such a wonderful thing for my son, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, look at those resources, look at people in your family that may have certain gifts or talents and, you know, and look and see what's actually helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we think we need certain things, but you know, he doesn't necessarily supply all of our wants, but he supplies all of our needs. And so sometimes we might think, well, my child needs to learn a foreign language, but maybe if they're not going to college, they don't, you know? And so if that's not a desire of theirs and they don't absolutely need it, maybe you can give yourself a break and go, they don't absolutely have to have that.
Right. Yeah. And there are some colleges that don't require them too. I mean, my son just graduated from college and never took a foreign language.
Yeah. So
he had too many engineering classes to fit in.
Right. That's a foreign language in and of itself, engineering.
Yeah, exactly. Amy had a question. If you've covered this in disregard, again, I came in late. Can watch the replay. Have you discussed personality clash with one's child or the mom not being the school teacher type? Hey, I fit in that category. Mm-hmm. But choosing homeschooling because it seems like the best fit for the child, not just the mom. I'm feeling myself. Oh, yeah, that was me, too. but that we did talk a little bit about that as far as, you know, outsourcing those things where you clash with your child. And but then there's the benefit on the flip side of learning something with your child if you're not if that's not your forte, you know, but something that maybe interests you to learn as
well. I think that also, you know, trying to find, again, their strengths and the things like, you know, something that you can do that's fun with them. Like, for example, let's say geography. Like, this is one of the things. We were trying to learn all the states and all that. Well, there's this game called the Scrambled States of America. Okay.
Oh, yes.
My kids love it. And they, you know, like I did a pre-test and a post-test with a map. And I don't just teach my kids. I also teach other people's kids along with mine. But so there were four kids, and I mean, none of them got them all right, but I had one who got very few right. And after a couple of weeks of playing the game, they all got almost all of them right. But if you, so sometimes it's find a way to make it interesting or fun. Sometimes it's put it on the shelf and come back to it later.
Yes, exactly.
And, and sometimes it's okay, let's get to the root of this. And why are we clashing? Is there something else? Do I need to just go back and deal with habits with this child and the relationship and then and obedience and then come and work on the academics? Because, you know, those things, those character things are just really honestly so much more important in the long run than the academics.
Right.
We do have to do the academics, but and they do help us build character. But sometimes, you know, we just need to take a little break, I think. So.
Yeah, and it's that discernment. You have to be able to discern which one of those do I choose? Do I put it on the shelf? Do we get to the deeper root, or do you know we just keep pressing through because this is just something that's difficult? But we need to take you know step by step through it. And I just remember the struggle. You know, I've been homeschooling for 18 years, and it you just don't know sometimes, and but God will reveal as you wait.
Yeah. One thing that I've done with some of my tutoring clients is this is like, especially with reading, kids that are having trouble reading or even math, you know, it's like I get them started, but I ask the parent to sit in on the lessons. And then, so you may want to say, if you have somebody tutoring or something, say, is it okay if I sit in on the lessons? Because hopefully with a good tutor, their aim is to work themselves out of a job. And so I try to work myself out of a job with these as quickly as possible, because to me, that's success.
Right.
So
exactly.
If I can have that parent and I can kind of work through those really difficult parts with the kid because they're exasperated because they've been trying for so long. And then once they start to have success, then a lot of times the parent can take back over.
Yeah, exactly. And just say, well, remember what she said? Exactly. Yeah. It's when you get up into the algebra and they're talking, you know.
Like, yes.
The student's like, what does this word mean? And I'm like, okay, which chapter are you on? Because I haven't even looked at your book. And, you know, and when you're tutoring, and it's like, oh, let me look that up. Oh, that's what that means. I haven't done this in 5 years.
Right.
But, yeah, to empower that parent to be able to take back over the majority of that. And I know a lot of really good educational therapists do the same thing. When they're working with a student, is they want the parent there to be able to train them so that they feel like I can teach my child and I understand their deficits better, but I know how to teach to what they do well. And it's kind of the goal.
Right.
All around. But yeah. But there will be places that you clash with your child, usually the ones that are most like you.
Right.
Yeah. So. So you had brought up something about you had some other things to talk about, and I can't.
Yeah, well, I think a couple things that I would just say are really important to keep in mind would be that, you know, it's okay if you don't have to do it alone. And it's okay to admit that and not to feel guilty about that. You know, I don't intend to teach my children, you know, geometry and algebra too, honestly. I don't. I mean, I could probably if I really worked at it, but I probably won't. And so, you know, and then, and, you know, and also look at what kind of help is actually helpful, because, you know, saying, oh, well, I could send them to a cottage school 2 days a week, but like if it's a cottage school, that's a really rigorous program, and then you're working, you know, 5 days a week for 12 hours a day to get the work done, that's not helpful.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you need that margin, and your kids do too.
And that, or if you're in a situation where the child is really not getting along well with the other students that are there or something like that, that's not helpful either. Or if you have a judgmental tutor, I mean, there are things like that. If it's not helpful, then it's not helpful. So, you know, don't try to do something that is going to make your life harder. That wouldn't be, but we do a lot of times, I think.
Well, because we're trying to live up to somebody else's standard. Oh, this worked for the homeschool, so I'm gonna. It must be something that's really good for my homeschool, and we can't. We can't live in that box.
We got to live at God's standards, and God's standards are so much about the relational and about teaching. I mean, to me, at the end of the day, when I look at the Bible and I look at Deuteronomy 6 and I look at other passages, I say, you know what? If my child isn't a huge scholar, but knows. But loves God, knows his commands and follows his commands and serves his fellow man, I have been successful. You know, that's, and so that's, that's what's most important to me. But, you know, and then I think when we're looking at outsourcing, ask yourself why. Why do I want to outsource? And really get along with the Lord and ask him, you know, because it could be that he doesn't want you to. But you just want to get it off your plate.
You're right, exactly.
But it could be that you don't want to outsource something that you need to. So I think getting to at the heart of it and your motives. Why do I want to outsource, or why do I not want to outsource? And just really getting to those motives and seeing what your goals are for your child and how to best accomplish those. You know, and it may require that you have to give up something, you know, because it may cost you money. But I think most parents are going to do what it takes. Maybe you can barter, or maybe you can sell something or whatever, or you can tutor somebody's kid in something so that you earn the money. Like I tutor kids and then I pay somebody else to do, you know, for things for my kids. So, you know, sometimes that, that what happens. But
You only have so much time in a day. So you've got to figure out how that's all going to work out, because you aren't going to be giving up sleep, which I hope you don't.
Because God's going to fit it into your schedule. You know, he's not going to call you to homeschool and not make it work. He's not going to call you to do anything that you can't get into your schedule. But I think the biggest question that I ask, though, is the worldview of the people that I'm outsourcing to, because it matters. When I send my kid to a program or something like that, and if they're hearing things that are going to conflict with the message that I want them to learn. It says in the Bible that a student will become like his teacher. And so I have to be really careful about that. Doesn't mean that I have they have to perfectly align with everything that I believe. But if they're teaching something that is very different, then I want to be careful about that, and I want to question that.
Because you speak into that child's life. You don't just, like when I tutor math, I'm not just tutoring math. I'm empowering my who I'm tutoring and make comments, you know, like, this is a gift you have. You know, you speak whatever you believe out, and you know, everybody, whether they're a believer or not, they do. They speak out truths or lies. So that's a really good point. That you know, what you expose your children to, it has to fit in with your overall homeschooling goals. And it's the same with curriculum. I mean, we do that more with curriculum than we do with outsourcing. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because we don't often think, oh, well, yeah, they know they're just going to spend an hour with this person every, you know, three times a week. Well, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of influence. So, and especially, you know, our kids that struggle, these people that have the gift to be able to help them with, you know, their struggling areas, they you know, you can kind of put them a bit on a pedestal and say, oh, that person really helped me. But to take a step back and say that God worked through that person to help me instead.
And nobody knows your child better than you do. You know, God gave you that child for a reason. And so you're going to be the best person to disciple that child. And yeah, we, you know, we can use other sources, but just keep in mind that he has not called you to do something that he won't equip you to do, whether it's you directly or you having the wisdom to choose some good outsourcing options.
Well, do you have anything else to add as we're kind of wrapping up?
I would just say, you know, it can be hard at times, especially when you do have a child who struggles, but I would encourage you not to give up. If you've been called to do it, God's going to see you through. And even, at, you know, certified teachers at schools, don't do it all right and don't feel like at the end of the year they've gotten everything done that has to get done. You know, we don't finish every page in the book. And there's so many things at the end of the year when I was teaching the classroom that I was like, oh, we didn't get to this and I just really wish we had. You know, nobody's going to do it perfectly, but that one-on-one attention or that one-on, maybe you have 12 kids, but regardless, you know, that more individualized attention is going to go a long way.
Yeah,
and so
it really does,
you know, just be encouraged.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Heather. This was really good information that parents need to hear right now, because I know a lot of parents are thinking, how can I manage this? Because there's a lot of working parents who are considering homeschooling now.
Yes.
And maybe if their job is, you know, more flexible for them to be home, or if they have been home and didn't really think that they could homeschool while, you know, working, and now they're making it work.
Right.
So yeah, but these are the conversations that they need to have. And I'm just thankful that you, you have the experience to be able to bring wisdom into that. And so, yeah. Yeah, Amy said yes. So thanks for joining us, Amy, and commenting. This is really good because, yeah, there's just so many options now, you know. But they're good options, and they're good to consider, especially in the past. We haven't, as parents with struggling learners, we haven't thought of those options. Mm-hmm. As much as we probably should. And I know even parents who had never considered teletherapy, because they're forced to do teletherapy,
right.
A lot of them have said, my student handles this better. I think they may choose this because they don't have the anxiety of going out of home and all these other places. Mm-hmm. So to take in everything that you're learning in this time and to use it wisely in picking what you do next year.
Right. And keep in mind, there's no perfect option.
No.
So, you know, you could beat yourself up trying to find the perfect thing. It's not out there.
Right.
And so sometimes good enough is good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just learn every time we do something, whether it worked or didn't work. We still learn.
Yes.
So Amy says, thank you, Heather and Peggy. Well, thank you, Amy, for joining us.
Thank you.
So this is the second to last week for this month. And we're talking about, outsourcing or online resources. Next week, we're going to be joined by Kareem Morado, and she's going to talk about self-paced courses and supporting your struggling learners. She actually teaches online Spanish classes to small groups of students, but she's going to talk about what she does as a teacher. So we kind of get a little bit more of that perspective and talking specifically about self-paced courses versus courses that are just kind of out there and your student has to keep up with the rest of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what the difference is in that. Some good information. So thank you again, Heather. Appreciate
thank you.
Your time as always. It was nice having you back. Just once again, have a lot of really good information to share. And so you would definitely want to check out, I'm going to put up your website again here before we go, aPluseducationalSolutions.com. And as Heather said, you can find a lot of resources there, find out about her testing and tutoring and all the other things that she does, and consulting. So she's one of the Sped Homeschool partners, and we love our partners.
Wow.
They have so many good resources because we don't do it. We just tell you where to go. Mm-hmm. And Heather's one of those people to go to.
Well, I appreciate you having the ability to pull all those resources together and share them with so many people.
Yeah, that's what we do best. So, all right. Well, so we'll see you again, everybody, next week for the next episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. Right after this, if you don't know, we have Mom's Night Out. And if you want to find that link, you can either find it in the Facebook support group, or if you're part of one of our Jump tribes, you can find the link there. Either or, look on our website for Mom's Night Out, and you'll figure out how to join one of those groups if you're not in them. If you're on a mailing list, you got the link in an email a couple hours ago. So you can use that too. So, but until next week, thanks everybody. Thanks again, Heather. And we'll see you all soon.
All right. Everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you.